This flyover clip.
But I may have gotten off on a rabbit trail there.
No, it's good because we're going to tie this into what's going on today, because I think as fascinating as looking backwards into God's word is, because it kind of helps make sense of things, because there are answers for today in it. People like to think in the moment they're in, I don't care if you lived in, you know, when, you know, Attila the Hun was, you know, rapaging and pillaging, or you lived during the World War II era, you see Hitler come on the scene, or you live it right now. If you're to look back and think, this is probably still not the craziest moment ever. You know, I mean, there's no world leader right now that is putting Christians' head on a stick and using them to light the cities. He's not, there's no Nero at this moment, or they take Christians and throw them into a pen and they're torn apart by lions and there's the crowds celebrate. Like there's been a lot of craziness.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, throughout time. And I think there's a little bit of a debilitating of, oh, this is the worst time ever. And I'm excused then from participation in taking ground in this time, that it's a hide in a bunker time and not a take ground time. And so I think I want to continue deep diving on some of these topics in the Old Testament, but I think that's going to parlay us into, we're in a victorious time and we're in a taking ground time, in my opinion, right now, in spite of the media push. I think these big problems we have today, if they were truly as big a problems as they say, we wouldn't have a pandemic that needed a $1 billion marketing campaign to convince us how bad it was.
Right.
You know, some of these big things that are like, whoa, this is terrible. You know, we're not at a point right now where it's going to be wiped out to 8 people that can live on a boat.
In fact, the boat story is kind of a large claim, isn't it? No, you're correct on all that though.
Yeah. And every civilization has it. So Adam leaves the garden and then there's this period of time where he leaves and he's out there and he's like trying to make stuff grow. And he's, you know, he's aware of God and he's telling his kids about the God he knew.
Yeah.
But God's presence is not as, nobody's walking with God in that space until Enoch is referenced as walking with God, and then he was not. But for the most part, these guys are trying to figure out how to, like strawberries, how do I get more of them? You know, they're growing them. They're breeding animals. You know, they got, you know, there's a lot of stuff happening, and the population's exploding, you know, around the world. And Adam's this voice there, but it kind of seemed, I don't know why everybody just didn't believe in God, because for how long did Adam live? Like 700 years? And they all had a chance to talk to him first time. And he's like, hey, I was here.
I think they did know who, they didn't know him like we are, like we would like to know him. They were rebellious. They were rebellious people, but I think they knew exactly.
The God of Adam.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They came through the lineage of Adam. And in those hours, even when you're looking, so if you were over in, say, Italy, and you're looking at busts of Caesars and things like this, what you're going to find is that there's no difference between how in times past they would have portrayed Zeus and they would have portrayed someone that lived several hundred years before. They viewed it as identical, as the same thing.
Okay.
So... part of the arguments against Genesis, against Exodus, against all of these.
There's a great timeline, you know, there of, you know, it's interesting that these people, you know, like Enoch probably hung out with Adam a lot. You know, I mean, these guys all, Methuselah and Enoch and Adam could have all had dinner together.
Overlap, you know,
they're all alive at the same time. You know, right. Here on Earth, I don't know what the population gets to, but you know, it gets pretty high. Not to derail on what you're talking about there, but it's like these things are all happening while there's firsthand accounts. They're not depending on ancient documents written.
Together.
They're all around, and they're like, "Hey, you want to hear the deal? Let's go. Adam's doing a lecture or something. You know, let's go talk to this guy."
So you see the lifespans. So actually, there on that chart you had up, you see the lifespans before the flood. And then you see them kind of diminish after the flood.
Yeah,
and
drastically.
Yeah, these elements alone, I even meet Christians today. This particularly terrifies Christians. Many elements of that book of Genesis, people would like to turn it into, now I don't know exactly how it looked at that time, but I can tell you that you've got great evidence that a lot of these weird things that we would look at And you'd say, well, that can't be true. A guy didn't live 1,000 years or 200 years or 250 years, yet this text is telling, recording that he did. And I've heard people go to great lengths. Biblical scholars go to great lengths to argue. Maybe they just didn't know how long 1,000 years was. They're keeping track in a different way because they want to sort of fit it in a box. I can tell you that many ancient skulls you can look at the skulls and examine them.
And we've been with you and held your skulls.
Yes.
You know, I think when you came to the Nashville Reawaken event, you had some skulls with you. And
these are established. You know, you seem to enjoy them so much, I'll send you one. But but it's establishable that you've got traits on, particularly in ancient Neanderthal skull. These are people that lived enormous time frames. Now, it's debatable how long, but you can see the evidence of it.
So they lived longer. So let's just speculate on this for a second. All right. If cause like every minute I'm dying, you know, like, you know, what's the deal? Like, you know, every month your skin replaces itself, or every so often your heart, your brain. I mean, the cells are dying and being regenerated, you know? And so we're all kind of dying, but we're kind of being recreated at the same time. Like, you know, there's not a cell in my body that was like when I was in high school, you know, that's still on me now.
Right.
I've totally, you know, so Adam's cranking out centuries here, right? So,
right.
So this is your opinion.
What does he look like?
What does he look like? And then also, like, if you were to take Adam in a time machine and move him into today, how would he compete with modern athletes? Would he be like Jim Thorpe? You know, would he be like dominant? You know, would he be like this man among boys? You know, was he bigger, taller, faster? If he's that healthy, if Adam broke his leg in a football game on Sunday, could he play it again the next Sunday?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Like what would this world look like? The oxygen level, the planet, everything was different in this pre-flood world.
Let me lay some things in your hands here with things that you can kind of look at in some of the bones. So when you're dealing with Neanderthal juveniles,
Can you define Neanderthal juvenile for me real quick?
Well, it would, okay, so let me put it like this. So a person.
And break this down, because I know you're kind of a big deal, but there's a lot of rednecks in Missouri like me that are watching this, and they're going to be like, does that mean like cavemen? What does that mean?
A person the age of 30 might just be hitting, might look like they were 13 or 14.
Okay.
So when you're talking about, and this is demonstrable, this is just, you can tell from the teeth, like our little bitty teeth. I've had a lot of dental work at my age. You look at those ancient teeth from those ancient people, you can look at that tooth and tell that thing would last 100. They're not like our teeth. Even the bones are thicker, bigger, more well, I mean, these are heavy. So just like the animals and bones that you have from that time, these people are heavy-duty dump truck people.
There's some bones there. I saw a guy on Joe Rogan talking about one time that when you look at any ancient skulls, they all have straight teeth. It's kind of a modern thing to have crooked teeth and smaller jaw lines and these kind of things.
It's like a de-evolution. Yeah. Everything here. Okay, so that
look at that freaky stuff. I love it.
Okay, so that one that I'm holding in that image there, so that if you look at the teeth on that, that's a Neanderthal skull. So if you look at the teeth on that skull, look at the size of those teeth. Look at the size of those. Now zoom in on the modern human skull. Look at those rinky-dink little teeth. Literally look at the difference between the skeleton. So our ancient ancestors and who we are today.
And then what's that in the middle with the Marge Simpson head?
Well, these are weird things. So these are found around temple sites. So you have skulls, you have ancient skulls that are, some of them are dead by head binding, which is probably copying the natural ones where you have people who just had elongated heads for whatever cause. And they were regarded often as royalty. And these are blood ritual sacrifice sites.
Okay.
So the same thing that you would call Baal worship in the ancient world, or that you would call Baal worship today, because that's really what it is at the top of their little societies or whatever you want to call it. It's Baal worship. It's blood sacrifice. That's just what it is. Only back in those times, they openly did it. So today, for example, some of your largest, particularly in the rough areas of town, some of your largest, prettiest buildings, even with the prettiest names like Planned Parenthood, are abortion mills. These are places where you're really sacrificing children. Well, in the ancient world, your temple is a blood sacrifice. They may sacrifice quite a lot of things, but they would tell the mothers to bring their babies to the altar to sacrifice, to Baal. Or a whole variety. You've got the feathered serpent. You've got quasi-kettle. You even have intricately cut serpents on many of these temples for the blood to run down. Out there in Israel at the base of Hermon, you have what's called Pan's Cave. Pan is where you get the... Pan is the same character as the Kokopelli that you find drawn on rocks for the little guy playing his flute, is the god Pan. Inside that cave, the mouth of that cave, which is red, you have an altar in there, a giant altar in there, and even the signs around it are going to tell you that all of these little things they've cut are for the blood to run in. And if the blood does this, then it means one thing. If the blood does that, it means another thing. But none of these practices are new. None of them.
Did they all seem like a copy? Because there is this model of, you know, God recognized the moment sin came in and Adam chose to sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then people say, well, Eve did. Well, Adam's standing right there. He had been there longer. He's the one that heard the first, God told Adam.
Right.
You know, so he should have been the curator of the behavior, you know, of what happened there. So he's not protecting her. So after that moment, sin's introduced. There was a death. Mm-hmm. There was an animal that died, you know, provided clothing for them. And there was a set of rule changes there of you're going to have to now work to make the ground do something. And there's a little bit of a separation because Adam's removed from God's presence in the Garden of Eden. So now there's this separation. So this process of, I don't know where it was introduced, but Cain and Abel both knew they were to bring things to God as a sacrifice, you know,
everything got downgraded at that point.
But they're all doing something to gain access back into God's favor. But every civilization, pre-flood and then post, has some form of temple, sacrifice. You know, I don't care if it's, you know, what religion and what it is. Does the devil, starting in that earliest first moment, just trying to redirect people's, like God wants you to sacrifice a lamb, you know, to him to get, like, I'll want you to sacrifice your children to me. I mean, is this all just a power play between God and Satan? Not that God's in the power play part, but just Satan trying to get everything that's naturally due to God.
Well, so I would even view that a different way, because I don't think it's like God and the devil doing, they're not even. So imagine it like this. Imagine in a computer program. So if I've got a computer program, one of the things, and I want to test that program, and I'm not stating this is the way this works, but it's kind of an interesting way to look at it. You got a computer program. You might put a virus in there in your test environment to test the subjects that are in the environment, to test them, see what they do. What do they decide to do? And do they decide, even if they mess up, do they say, Lord, I messed up, but I'd really like to come to you? Or do they go completely the opposite way? Mm-hmm. So this is the sorting of the wheat from the chaff, the wheat from the weeds. There were two things that the devil was called by Jesus. So you could pick a whole list of things to call the devil, starting right there in the garden. But Jesus picked two. He was a liar and a murderer from the very start. Liar and a murderer. You could call him a thief. You could call all sorts of things. The list could just go on endlessly. But he chose those two. Most all, probably, of the shows you've done right here on the set, at interviews where you've been at, they're talking about people telling lies and all sorts of things. And pretty much everything almost everything that comes to the TV mm-hmm. screen is in some form or another a lie, to a degree yeah. that even Joe Rogan's there. Like, I just tried to take some ivermectin, and I've got major news stations that are telling me I'm doing right. horse dewormers, right? Liar, a liar, and a murderer. And so what do they do next when the lies don't work? Because the lies are so, they murder. These are the two facets.
Wow, that is a great point. Lies and then murder, because yeah, what do you do next?
They're the two facets.
The lies don't work.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're the two facets of all of it. And they're the same structure of those temples. The temple is a lie, and you're bringing, you're no, there is no instance other than Jesus in your entire Bible, from Adam to Eve to now, where any one of us have been asked to bring our children as a sacrifice.
No.
None of them. None of them. Or to sacrifice another human, or to do. So this entire story is one where there's no one laying down their life for that snake. See, that's why he wants to kill your children. That's why he wants those temples.
Our founding fathers evolved the idea that you and I have within ourselves the God-given right and the ability to determine our own destiny. But freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
This is a crazy time to be alive.
Well, just in our lifetime, used to be where you'd hear your grandparents talk about how cheap gas was and stuff, and it was 75 years before, 50 years you know, before.
And so we've seen a lot of changes since Biden took office. $700 more a month
than what you needed in January of 21 when he took office.
You might hear these kind of things and think, oh, that's overwhelming. I can't control the government. I can't control what they're doing. I can't control the spending. But we can take care of ourselves.
You want to make sure that you're buying bullion from somebody that you can trust and someone that does not charge you a commission when you go to sell.
If there's going to be a commission, have it on the front end, not the back end, when it skyrockets and now you're like, oh my gosh, look at this big, huge commission I got to pay because it's on the back end before I sell it.
You can buy an ounce of silver for $23. So this is something everybody can get into. And if silver goes to $50, if it goes to $75, if it goes to $100, all of those profits are yours. And that's happening while the dollar is buying less and less at the actual grocery store.
So you can go to flyovergold.com, fill out your information. When you do that, someone from Dr. Kirk's team will get a hold of you to set up a free consultation. It doesn't cost you any money whatsoever. Or to do the same thing, you can just call 720-605-3900. Hello, Flyover family. Join me every Wednesday for the Prophetic Report at 11:11 Central. You can find it on Rumble. You can find it on the Flyover app. We have such an incredible time of hearing from all of these different prophetic voices like Robin Bullock, Julie Green, Barry Wunsch, Amanda Grace, and Hank Kuhneman. Every week, it's either five or six different prophets that are speaking. And what's interesting is God is speaking through them, and all of these voices come together like puzzle pieces. It is so exciting to hear what the Lord is saying. We're hearing from medical. We're hearing from military intelligence. We're hearing from the financial world. We're hearing from mainstream media. But the most important is, what is God saying? He has not fallen off the throne. He's not nervous. He's not chewing his nails. He is in control. He has plans to prosper us and not to harm us. What a great time to be alive. And I'm so excited for you to join me every Wednesday at 11:11.
Have you ever wondered about ancient civilizations or the moon landing, chemtrails, the Nephilim, demons? Those are all things that fascinate me. decided to use our platform of the Flyover Conservative podcast and create a new show called Conspiracy Conversations. Every Saturday morning, we get together with some of the brightest minds in the world that have spent thousands of hours on a topic, churning through the research, looking at things. They've traveled, they've been to the locations, they're looking for the truth because they're as curious as you and I are about what's true. What is really true about our past, where we came from, where we are, and where we're going? We don't bring on guests to iron out their wrinkles and find out the things that we disagree on. No more than I go to the grocery store and try to put everything in the whole store in my cart. I just try to walk out with better ideas than I had when I walked in. If you got something inside you that's like, what about that? I don't even know if I agree, but I would like to hear them out. If you have an open mind and a curious heart, we've got a show for you every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, conspiracyconversations.com.
For more great content, go to flyoverconservatives.com.